One of the things today's readings, I believe, invite us to think about is prayer. When we look closely at what's in the readings, we're challenged, I think, to consider where we pray, when we pray, and most importantly, why we pray. So what do we see in the readings about where we should pray? Well, I think it's significant that we're told that Jesus went to a deserted place to pray, which, by the way, doesn't mean he went into a desert to pray. We know this because there are no deserts immediately near Capernaum. Some translations of this passage have Jesus going to a lonely place to pray, meaning a place where he could be alone. The fact that he went to a place where he could be alone is totally in line with his teaching on prayer. But when you pray, we hear Jesus saying in Matthew 6:6, go to your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret. That's what Jesus did. And in my reading of this passage, when it comes to our personal prayer, that's what we're encouraged to do as well. Why? Well, I think the answer is simply this. It's in these lonely places we pray that it's easiest for us to listen to what God has to say to us. Well, what about when we should pray? We know how St. Paul would answer this question, don't we? He would say, when? All the time. Pray without ceasing. At least that's what he told the Thessalonians. Imagine with me what our response to his answer of praying without ceasing might be. I can easily see someone saying something like, St. Paul, you don't know what it's like to be a citizen of this world in the 21st century. There are so many things that keep people so very busy these days. I mean, for one thing, there's work. If you want to get ahead in this life, you have to put in long hours. Oh, and then there are all those household chores we come home to. Can you imagine how much cleaning and cooking and laundry and yard work we do these days? Then there's the time we spend with our family and friends. You wouldn't want us to give up spending quality time with them, would you? Oh, and what about education? In this day and age, a high premium is placed on everyone getting a good education. Getting a good education takes time, you know. Or fitness. You want us to be healthy, don't you? Or leisure. You wouldn't want us to miss the playoff games or the Super Bowl, would you? They only come around once a year. Paul, I'm sorry, but I'm way too busy to find the time to pray that much. Now, I don't know what St. Paul would say to that, but I do know what St. Francis de Sales would say, because he said it. He said, if you don't have time for prayer, you don't have time for anything. Half an hour's prayer each day is essential, except, of course, when you're busy. Then a full hour of prayer is needed. As Brandon Vaught says, being too busy to pray is precisely the reason we need to pray more. It means our priorities are out of alignment. Our gospel readings these past several weeks alone convince me that Jesus was a pretty busy person too. Think for a moment about what we've heard. 3 weeks ago, Jesus showed John the Baptist's disciples where he was staying. 2 weeks ago, he walked to Galilee and then called Simon, Andrew, James, and John to be fishers of men. Last week, Jesus taught in a synagogue in Capernaum. And this week, he healed Simon's mother-in-law before sunset. And then after the sun had set, we heard he cured many more who were sick with various diseases, and drove out many demons. And what did he do after that? Well, he probably took a nap. And a short one at that, because the next thing we read is that he rose very early before dawn and went off to pray. Jesus, the God-man, sacrificed an opportunity to get what we can only imagine was some well-deserved and much-needed sleep in order to spend time in prayer with his Father in heaven. The lesson here for us, I believe, is that we must do what Jesus did. We must find time or make time to pray. Finally, what about why we pray? What if we can say, I have no problem with where to pray, or even with when to pray? What if our problem is why we should pray? Or to be a little more precise, why we should continue to pray? What if that's our question? Because all of our prayers have become like David's prayer of distress. Lord, listen to my prayer. Turn your ear to my appeal. Make haste and answer, for my spirit fails within me. Do not hide your face, lest I become like those in the grave. For your name's sake, Lord, save my life. In your justice, save my soul from distress. What if that's our question, because we feel like all our prayers are falling on deaf ears? What if we just want to be like Simon's mother-in-law, someone who was healed, not like Job, someone who thinks he'll never see happiness again? What are we to do? Well, first and foremost, we should never, ever stop believing that God is always with us, doing what we heard in today's psalm, binding up our wounds and mending our broken hearts. Maybe why we pray should focus less on what we want and far more on what God wants. What do you suppose Jesus prayed when he arrived at his lonely place? I bet that he prayed, at least in part, what we've all been taught to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Brothers and sisters, today's readings do challenge us to consider where to pray, when to pray, and why to pray. And they do so because prayer is important. As a fellow deacon once wrote, the goal of life is union with God. Prayer is a powerful God-giving means toward that goal. Peace be with you.